Welcome to the Otherworlds GG Community Cast. This is episode number 67. I am Table for Two, and I'm joined today by Mellified and Alien Pickle. How you guys doing?
Hey, it's Mellified. I am doing very well. I'm got some time off, enjoying the 4th of July holiday, and trying to stay cool. It's still super hot here in Texas. Alien Pickle, how are you doing?
I'm just trying to super glue my toenail back on. It's cool.
That's what super glue was originally for, though, was to close up wounds. So I'm glad to see your...
I had to let it go, man. Sometimes you just gotta let
it go. Well, I hear you got a new lightsaber.
Oh, yes, the Jedi fart saber. The dark toot of the Sith.
If you guys come to our Discord, there's a link in our Discord at discord.otherworlds.gg, and he's got a YouTube video link of him demonstrating the Jedi fart saber. It's I've watched it no less than 5 times. not gonna lie, I was highly entertained by that video. Well, sounds like a good time, the Jedi fart saber, and
yeah, well, it replaces the vroom, vroom, vroom lightsaber noise with any noise that you make. So I just kind of made a loud fart noise, and then you swing it, and it's like...
that's funny. Well, cool. Well, we've got ourselves a couple of Steam decks here in Otherworlds.gg. Mellified's got one, I've got one. Jim still's on the fence about it, from what I understand, right, Jim?
Jim just doesn't have a use case for it.
That's fair.
Because it's like, I could sit in the living room and do what I do in the other room, or I could just sit in the other room.
There's that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, I've been increasing my usage of it. I find that when I sit up in the living room and use it, well, you know, my wife might be watching a movie on TV, and I'm sitting in the chair, and I can actually focus more on playing the game when I'm using that than at my computer. You know, a lot of times when I'm at my computer, I'm kind of more trying to focus on more co-op gaming or gaming with friends, or I've got like other tabs open. I got 6 monitors on this darn computer, right? So you think my like attention to, you know, one thing at a time is kind of low.
Yeah, so you get down to one screen. Small screen, so you got to squint at it really hard.
And well, it's not that I don't squint at it, but it does narrow my focus to just that one thing that I'm looking at. And I've been playing through Horizon Zero Dawn this way, and it kind of reminds me of when I used to live in that big old house down in Charlotte. You've been there, Jim, and I played through all of Mass Effect Andromeda by Steam streaming it to my home theater system. It was like a big old like 120 inch projection wall mount thing, which was awesome, right? And I was able to focus on just playing the game that way because I didn't have the distraction of like other things on my computer or Discord or any of that other stuff. And so it was really great for just like plowing through RPGs. And I have found that my use case for my Steam Deck, I feel like I'm turning it into my RPG machine. So like I've got a bunch of Final Fantasy games on there. I've got Horizon Zero Dawn on there. I just got the Mass Effect Legendary Edition installed on that. I'm actually playing through KOTOR 2 on it, finally. I've beaten KOTOR 1 several times, but I've never played all the way through on KOTOR 2. And the nice thing about the Steam Deck is I get all that workshop support, so I can have all of the, you know, modifications, add-ons, community, like, you know, add-on packs and stuff like that, that they did, enhancements and such, where they, you know, reinstated a whole bunch of content that was cut and stuff like that. So it's like, I get access to all of that as we're like on, you know, a normal console or even on, because, you know, you can get KOTOR 1 and 2 on mobile now. I don't get access to all that stuff any other way. I'm actually really looking forward to having a dock, because then I'll probably dock this thing to my TV and, you know, play with a controller and stuff like that. So I'm actually really excited about that.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate the workshop support. It's really noticeable when there's a game that for whatever reason never added workshop support, or a lot of the mods are on the Nexus mod site or ModDB, and because, you know, it's a lot more effort to sort of get those running on the Steam Deck. But the stuff with Workshop, just it's just there. It, you know, if you've subscribed to those mods, it just automatically installs them on the deck, which is fantastic.
Yeah, and the other thing that I've noticed, and I didn't know this before, and apparently this has been around for a while, so to me, this was a new thing, and then I told my buddy about it, and he's like, well, that's been around for a while, is you can, you know, you the controller support stuff's there, where you can customize your controller layout and stuff like that and save different configurations. What I didn't know was, is you can access community configurations for controllers. I had no idea. And I was able to, I was having trouble getting Final Fantasy VII and VIII working, the original ports, not the remasters or remakes or whatever it is, the original PC ports of VII and VIII, and for some reason the default Steam Deck controls that it supplied, I couldn't click on anything, no buttons were working, I was confused. And then I found the controller thing, and I was able to download somebody else's mapped controls for the game, and it just instantly started working. And I was like, holy crap. That's, to me, that's game-changing. When you can download somebody else's custom config for controller layouts and try different variations on it without having to spend like my own time trying to figure this out. You know, other people have already done it, and I can, you know, use that. And so I was really impressed by that. That's actually been huge for trying new games on the Steam Deck, is because now I can go in and just, you know, apply a custom controller layout and give it a whirl.
Yeah, and a lot of the games, the newer games, support Steam Input, which is Valve's sort of universal controller technology. And those just work. But certainly older games, you may need that custom controller setup.
Yeah, and specifically then in my case, this was for more older games too, because like you said, yeah, most modern games like Doom Eternal, Horizon Zero Dawn, a lot of these newer games all just by default used a really good controller scheme, and I didn't have to mess with it. But South Park, The Stick of Truth, that's the other one. I've got both of the South Park, you know, RPGs on my deck as well, and I've been playing through those. So I mean, it's really been kind of fun just to have, you know, I've got Skyrim Special Edition, you know, and mods and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, you know, it really has become my mobile RPG machine, and I actually really like it. I like it for that.
It reminds me, the way you describe it reminds me of the argument for the Kindle ebook reader. Like, I can read books perfectly fine on my phone, and I don't mind doing that. But the Kindle e-ink read has zero distractions. It's just the book. There's not, you know, notifications popping up. There's not, you know, text messages coming in. I can just sit and read. And so I really enjoy the ebook reader for that reason.
Yeah, the thing I like about the e-ink is there's also no screen glare, right? Because yes, it's not like, oh, I'm on a tablet looking at something that's backlit. It's just stuff on it.
Oh, that's the other thing, because I've got the 512 version, that special etched glass that they put on there. It's like, it's really nice to look at. You know, I haven't had any glare issues with it for myself, at least. Yeah, I absolutely love my Steam Deck. You know, I throw it in my bag with me every day when I go to work, and take it out on break and, you know, play for a little bit doing something, or, you know.
Yeah, so. See, I still hate portables because I'm damaged by that Game Boy Color that didn't have a backlight ever. And, yes. Yeah. You know, like, you're trying to play, like, you're sitting in the car, and the only time you can actually interact with the game is when you're going under a street light.
Yeah, I remember that. Or you had the like goofy little plug-in lights that
tried to. Yeah, the little snake light that hung out the USB port.
Yeah. Yeah, but Good.
Oh, I was going to say, I think for me, one of the things that I've enjoyed quite a bit about the Steam Deck is just having that one click access to stuff. Like I just want to, oh, I've been playing this. I've been playing Hades on my PC. I want to pick up and play. I click, it downloads, it installs, it copies over my saves, assuming the game uses Steam Cloud saves, and I can just pick up where I left off. It just makes it feel so easy. What I'm really excited about, though, is that next level support that Valve has talked about coming, where you'll be able to freeze the game state on PC and transfer it to the Steam Deck and fire up the game exactly where you left off. Not, oh, I have to get to a save point,
right?
You know, to save, but actually doing like a memory copy of the state of the game, which would be pretty amazing if they can pull it off.
Yeah, and that's a thing I would just expect to work with Game Pass, right? Like, I'm playing it on PC, and then I go in the living room, and I want to resume. Not always.
Yeah, that's one thing. Microsoft's trying really hard to get everybody to support the Xbox cloud saves, but it is by no means universal. I think, overall, I would say Valve's cloud sync probably is the most universal of any of the ones I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so currently I'm continuing to really enjoy my experience with the deck, and I've even done some in-home game streaming, so like I've connected to my PC and played a couple of games like locally over my home network with it. That works as you'd expect, for at least as I would expect, because I've done in-home streaming before with success, so that works really well. The continual support, you know, for games is continuing to go up, and I'm just super impressed with how Proton works on this thing. Like, it really is game-changing to think that I am playing on a Linux device all of my PC games. That's like with more or less flawlessness. I mean, changing a controller configuration is, like, minor, like, irritants. Like, so minor, it's not even really an irritant at all.
Like, well, it used to be you had to go up and swap cartridges, and that was game changing.
Well, sure, yeah, but like, when you think about the fact that, like, I don't have to, like, tweak any, like, Linux bullshit, I don't have to, like, custom do, like, some weird driver thing, like Proton and Linux and this whole thing, like, Valve has poured an obvious, like, extreme amount of effort into this, and it shows. And
okay, so I have two questions on this then. So the first is, have you tried emulation stuff? Like, what emulators have you got running?
Actually, no. I do have the Steam version of RetroArch installed. I have not thrown the micro SD card with the ROMs on it into it yet to test that. But I met up with a guy a couple weeks ago who also had a Steam Deck, and he had emulators running on it, and it was running flawlessly.
Yeah, interesting. Does the Steam Deck have any GPS in it so it can tell where you are? Like, if they came out with a game like Pokemon Snap or Pokemon Go or whatever the hell that is, you know, where you like run around the town and with your Steam Deck.
I don't believe so.
No.
Okay. So the second question is, if I have a game running on my PC and then I go to another PC and I try to launch a different game, but I'm still on the same Steam account, it will say, oh, you're already playing a game on the other account, so I'm going to shut that off so you can play this one. Does the Steam Deck abide by the same kind of rules?
Yes.
Like, okay.
Yes. Yep. So if I have a game, this happened the other day where I still had like the Star Trek Online launcher running, I wasn't playing the game, but the launcher was still on. And so I went to go play something on my Steam Deck, and Steam was like, hey, you're playing a game on another, like at another location. And I was like, oh, well, shoot.
So you can't fiddle around with your Steam Deck while you're on your PC actually playing something.
Well, you can, you just can't play, unless you go into offline mode, you can't play games.
Right.
But you can, there is, offline mode does exist, though, on the Steam Deck.
Okay, well, that makes it all right, I guess.
It is, but, I mean, you know, keep in mind the Steam Deck is still a PC, right? It is a second PC, so it behaves sort of just like you'd expect with two Windows computers.
You
can't load up stuff and then say, here, kid, go play games while I'm playing mine.
Well, no, but that's no different.
Games.
But that's no different than on PC, right? Like Steam, that's how Steam works.
Oh, I know.
Well, but also if you had a kid and if you had a game PC and you got a deck for the kid, you'd clearly have like the kid's own account on the deck and not your own. You know?
Well, you could do family sharing, which is Steam's answer for all of this. The problem with family sharing, of course, is that it locks the entire library. So I can't have my kid playing Star Trek Online while I'm playing Elder Scrolls Online. I don't know. Because if they're both on my account, then, you know, my library is locked when I'm playing it.
So, right. But like the use cases, though, I just feel like. If I got a Steam Deck for me, and like I have a gaming PC, like no one else is using my gaming PC or my Steam Deck really but me. So like if I'm gonna like let my friend, you know, try out my Steam Deck, I'm gonna let him try. I'm not gonna be playing games on my PC while I let him try my Steam Deck. Like that's such a one-off case, you know. But like if you're sharing your library, that's still like a different kind of thing, though. But I feel like
I'm talking like you're playing EVE Online, which has a lot of, like, I could play something else while I'm playing this, but you can't, because...
Well, I can play EVE Online independently of Steam, though.
Okay. I was just using it as an example of a game that sucks.
Well, anyway, I get it. I think, you know, I think Xbox probably is, like, the ones that have really done a better job with this kind of particular thing. But I think the uses are not very. I just don't know. I'm having a hard time. I know Melified probably has seen it more than the both of us, but like it almost seems like a devil's advocate situation, because my specific situation and your specific situation is so much different than Melified's specific situation. So like for me, it's a non-issue. So like it doesn't even cross my mind.
Yeah, I think it if you have active gamers, Steam library sharing is basically useless, because I can't play anything from my Steam library if somebody else is sharing something from my library.
Yeah, so, right, exactly. Unless you go into like an offline mode and you're playing an offline mode situation game.
Fair. So ultimately, the Steam Deck, what I've done with it is I have my whole family's logins on the Steam Deck, so they can switch to their profile and play the games that they own that are installed on the Steam Deck. And I'm not playing anything, then they can go in and play the stuff from my library on the Steam Deck or on their PC.
Right.
But the cool thing is you can share one Steam Deck among multiple users, and that actually works really, really well.
Yeah, the way the Steam OS, if you will, or the Steam interface on the deck works is shockingly well. I was really impressed by that, because you can put like a pin code on your account, right? You can do like a lock screen, you can switch profiles on the fly. It's really neat. It's like I said before, it's like Valve's dabbles in all of these different technologies over the years seems to have culminated in this like really awesome piece of technology. You know, everything from, you know, the Steam OS to the Steam Link to the Steam Controller, you know, to Steam Machines, you know, all and all of it in between has like kind of come to this point, I feel like, which is interesting. And the price point is competitive to that of the Switch, right? So it's like, you know, What do you want to get your kid? Do you want to get your kid, you know, the Switch, or do you want to get your kid like a Steam Deck? You know, that's going to be an interesting question, because your library of games of choice on the Steam Deck is going to be astronomically higher than the Switch. You know, and the variety of games and the types of games. Now, granted, you're not going to be playing any Nintendo games, at least not traditionally. Yeah, that's where the emulation stuff comes into play, of course, but you know, it's like, you know, it's like my brother told me years ago when I was still like a heavy console player, like as a kid, you know, he told me that one day, you know, you're going to need to get into some PC gaming, because PC gaming has way more interesting and diversity of games than like these console stuff. Their games on the PC are typically more interesting, you know, at least traditionally, I feel like. Not to say that games on consoles aren't, but, you know, playing Mario or, you know, some kind of like a 3D platformer is, you know, not the same as, say, playing like, you know, some crazy first person shooter or RPG or dungeon crawler or... But anyway, so those are my thoughts on the deck. Do you have anything else on your end, Melify, that you've been like seeing since, you know?
I will say that the larger SSD is really nice, even just because the Steam Deck likes to download shaders for all of the games you have installed that are pre-compiled for the Steam Deck's graphics chip. And those shaders seem to take up a fairly large amount of space. And it goes up the more games you have installed, of course. And like those, in my experience, get installed to the SSD only. Even if the game is on an SD card, the shaders go to the shader cache, which is on the built-in SSD. So if you were to, say, have multiple micro SD cards and you're switching between them, you can actually fill up your drive with shaders.
Yeah, so having the larger capacity drive is nice.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's tons of people out there that have been doing videos on like replacing the, you know, the stock drive with like a higher capacity drive in the deck. So
yeah, we'll actually, in our news show next week, we'll have some articles about that. Valve came out and recommended against putting the larger standard SSDs in.
Oh, interesting.
People were putting the, I think it's 2242 instead of the 2230 size SSDs, and that actually Valve recommends not to do that, because it'll shorten the life of the deck.
Really? I wonder how all that works. All right, well, we'll find out.
Yep, we'll talk more about it.
Well, yeah, so speaking of, like, you know, the deck, we've been playing games on. So, like, I've been playing quite a few different games recently. You know, I've been playing through KOTOR 2, finally. Like, I've started and stopped so many times, but I'm finally playing through that on my Steam Deck. I've been playing through Horizon Zero Dawn and really enjoying it. I was not aware of how much of an RPG that game was until I started playing it, and I, you know, I'm really, really digging that. Have you guys played through that one, or, you know, beaten that, either of you?
I'm trying to remember. I feel like I've played it, but it was so long ago, I don't really remember a whole lot about it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm super digging the game. And I, you know, I'm really liking the mechanics and like the leveling systems on things and the upgrades and how it all works. The story has definitely been really interesting. I've kind of gotten to a point where I was made a seeker, and I'm kind of getting out into the world, and I kind of got sidetracked with just how large the world is in this game. It's a rather expansive map. But like all the different creatures that I've been encountering so far, it's definitely been an enjoyable experience. So I've been playing a lot of that on my Steam Deck. What else have I been playing lately? I'm trying to think. You know, South Park Stick of Truth has been one. Played a little bit of Skyrim. Been playing a little bit of Skyrim again, if I can just use my words. stumbling over my speech. It's early. I redid my Grand Theft Auto 3 Vice City and San Andreas installs and got some custom community like things working for them, so they're all nice and fun to play now. Been really enjoying that. And then I took a dive last night and played Agent 64 with a demo. There's a free demo on Steam you can get called Agent 64 Spies Never Die. It's a beta demo, and it is exactly a remake of GoldenEye 64, but on the PC. Everything from, like, the character animations to, like, the aiming and shooting, and it's a little bit more faster-paced and a little bit more fluid than, let's say, like, the 64 version. But, I mean, the character models and the polygonal kind of, like, characters are very much reminiscent of GoldenEye 64, so I had a fun playing through the demo last night, so that was a pretty good time. And then nice. Steam's
really cool.
Yeah, it's fun. If you want to try it out, like I said, there's a free demo. There's one mission you can play through, and that's on Steam. And of course, the Steam sales are going on right now, and I've only picked up one game on Steam because I got it for free. I went through my Steam inventory and found all of my cards, the Steam cards that you get, and sold them on the market for about $7.50. And I picked up Mordheim, City of the Damned, and a whole lot of its DLC for basically no cost to me. So that was on a recommendation from our own Alien Pickle.
Nice.
You picked up any games on the Steam sale?
Let's see. I have. I don't even want to say how much I spent because it's not important. I have been, as I've mentioned, and kind of going back to the Steam Deck, been picking up some of the games that I've had on other platforms on Steam. So I picked up a handful of the older Ubisoft titles, both of the newer Rayman platformers, Trials of the Blood Dragon, and the spaceship one. What the heck is that called? Oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the name. It had the toys with it, and
Atlas? No.
Battle for Atlas. Sky something Battle for Atlas or was the name of it. You're right.
But, yeah.
Let me see if I can find it. Starlink. Starlink Battle for Atlas.
Okay.
So yeah. I picked up a couple of those.
Oh, titles. Interesting.
And I actually really liked despite not being able to remember the name, I actually really liked Starlink Battle for Atlas on Xbox. And I need to go back and play it on the Switch, though, because the Switch version has a bunch of Star Fox content, including a whole extra DLC that's not available on other platforms. So,
no, interesting.
One of my favorite old school games is Giant Citizen Kabuto. And I picked that up on the Steam sale. I had it on GOG, but again, I kind of wanted to be able to install it on the Steam Deck easily. Giants is a weird ass game. It starts as a 3D platformer shooter, and then it changes midway through into more of a stealth action game, and then it changes again into an RTS later on. And so it's a strange but a lot of fun kind of title. So I was pretty happy about that. I picked up Fate Extellia, both of the Fate Extellia games, which are based on the manga. They're, you know, action 3D action RPG games.
So hentai is what you're saying.
No, they're okay. Not hentai, but you know, they're not, yeah. Not, you know, lolis and you know, so forth. So But yeah, I mean, it just, you know, I picked up Caligula Effect 2, which was a JRPG that came out not too long ago. You know, so just a handful of different things. And really, I have a wish list, you know, as long as the day is. And so I got, I think, 307 or... Yeah, like 370 notifications when the Steam sale started of stuff that I was looking for or I had wishlisted that was on sale. Mm. Certainly didn't buy all of it, but I did buy a decent amount. So,
yeah, I need to go back through and like probably relook at my wish list on things. But there's not a whole lot that I actually like want per se. So. You know, it's funny because, you know, we were talking, you know, speaking of all of like the PC and stuff like that, there, the more that I'm using the Steam Deck and Steam and kind of getting back, because for the longest time I used to kind of like shun Steam. I was getting so mad at how Valve was doing things. And my experience on Steam just didn't feel, you know, enjoyable for a period of time there. And But, you know, recently, now that I'm using, you know, Steam more proactively and I've curated my experience, like, on the Steam store and stuff like that, I wish there were better ways. I know you can add non-Steam games into Steam and Steam will launch it, but sometimes, like, the control isn't all there, so, like, Steam overlay stuff doesn't work. And I'm specifically thinking of things like Game Pass stuff. Or Windows, like AppX, whatever they call those, like applications or whatnot. Yep. They, you know, you can't add those properly into Steam and get the Steam overlay without doing a lot of just manual labor to get it to work properly. Mm-hmm. And I haven't even been able to get it to work properly. There's like, you know, a couple of people on Reddit that I've seen, but it's kind of like made me realize that maybe, you know, if it's a game that I want long term and I think I'm going to be playing on a more frequent basis, I might as well like try it out on Game Pass, but then buy it over on Steam is how I'm feeling now. And I'm specifically thinking about like MechWarrior 5, for example, you know, because or in like Fallout 76 and stuff like that, you know, these games that I play over on one platform, I'd rather, you know, have more of a, you know, experience over on Steam. So
yep. One game that I was playing that might be of interest is AI the Somnium Files, which is a murder mystery game, sort of a graphic novel or visual novel, but there's some interesting sequences where you go into people's subconscious through, you know, the MacGuffin for the game, and that allows you to solve these different puzzle rooms where you have to unlock a sequence of things, and there are multiple paths to the story, so depending on which way you go, it branches.
Sounds kind of Psychonauts to me, except visual novel, so that means hentai. So are you going in like unlocking their like dark sexual fantasies with lollies?
No, it's very vanilla. It's more like, oh, I'm in this room and the person remembers things in a weird way. The roosters are very excited about this topic. The person remembers things a certain way, and so you've got to figure out the puzzle, the right thing to do to unlock the next part of their subconscious memory of this event. And then you use that information to help you solve the murder mystery that's kind of at the core of it. The original came out in 2019 and they just released the sequel recently. So like in the past couple weeks. So I had never played the original. That's what I'm playing. And then I plan to get into the sequel as well.
Oh,
I also played Solasta, Crown of the Magister. Those longtime listeners may remember I was enjoying the heck out of the game, and the main story quest, the Crown of the Magister adventure. But one of the things that Solasta has is on the workshop, you can download user-made campaigns, and then the company themselves has a DLC campaign as well as some free workshop mini campaigns. And I was really excited to go back and play the official expansion until I realized that you have to start over with level one characters.
Oh, that was going to be my question, was like, is every one of those modules like start over? It's completely separate from the main story.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm fine with that because that's like a whole new game every time, you know? So yeah, but it's not the continuing adventures of, you know, my dudes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the part that's hard, is you can use your same characters, but they're...
Well, otherwise you would, right? So, otherwise you would have no advancement, because everybody would be running around with a maxed out party. So all the modules would be for, like, well, here's, like, level 30 characters rampaging through. So, sure. I mean, that, they have to, so...
Yeah, and I think, at least from what I've seen, some of the downloadable ones are broken into sections. So it'll be part one is level 1 to 4. Part two is 5 to 7, that type of thing. So they've gated the progression really tightly, because you can't even play the second part unless you have level 5 characters to go into it. So you kind of have to play through the first part to do that. But obviously the quality varies depending on who's making these different modules, but I did finish the DLC campaign, and, you know, I was kind of ready for it to be done when I finished it. It is part one of a larger story. The game is completely based on 5th edition D&D rules, and the one thing I will say is it only goes up to level 12 right now, not even level 20, which is sort of what you'd expect, I think, for higher end D&D campaigns. So there is speculation that they're going to do the next expansion as a continuation of the story of the first expansion, and that would go from like level 10 or 12 on up, and they'd add more levels. So we'll see if that actually happens. But as just the base game, the Crown of the Magister campaign is fantastic and a lot of fun, and I certainly recommend that to anybody who likes, you know, tabletop RPG games. I should say very quickly, my number one played game in the last 3 months by time is Disgaea 6 Complete, which came out this week. And the reason that it's become my number one played game in 3 months is because I've been leaving it running for days overnight to auto level. A big part of the game is sort of setting up your characters in such a way that they can auto battle. And you even have like a rudimentary AI programming component to the game where you can have your guys behave different ways. And so I loved this game on the Switch, except that it crashed a lot and had terrible performance, and the PC version, at least so far, seems to fix both of those issues. So I've really been enjoying it, getting back into it on PC. I'm past, I think, the point I made it to on the Switch already. So I kind of blazed through the story because I'd already seen it. But I love the Disgaea games just for that sort of wacky, let's see how badly we can break the game and optimize all of our crazy, you know, shortcuts and stuff. And Disgaea 6 takes that to a whole new level. I think your max level on your characters is 9,999,999 is you can level all your characters up to that and then reincarnate them back to level 1 and do it all over again. Kind of
like the next level of that game is that they realize they're in a video game and then figure out how to hack their own game from the inside.
Yeah, pretty much. So,
because like the charm of the game, like for Disgaea 1, which is the one that I played way back in the when, mm-hmm. was like cheat your ass off. You know, you can make a move and then undo it, and, you know, like just exploit the crap out of the game. Because it's like other games, it would be like, oh no, they left this weird bug in there. No, that's there intentionally in Disgaea. It's there for you to find and abuse.
Yes, very much. It's very much about optimizing, you know, the way that you level and how you, you know, optimize your characters and stuff. And six, like, takes everything they did in the last several games and just expands on it and makes it better and ties it all in. So it's very much the best version of itself, and it's actually got a fun story too. Like I genuinely enjoyed the silly, you know, sort of anime. It kind of makes fun of a lot of anime tropes and you know, pop culture stuff, so you know, very tongue-in-cheek in that sense. Your main guy is a zombie, and so there's all these jokes about him, you know, falling apart and having to like put pieces of himself back on and stuff, for example. So
that's cool.
So yeah, that's what I've been playing quite a bit of, obviously.
So Raft is finally done, and I mean done, like my wife finally is done playing Raft.
So real.
So how was it?
So she liked it. There is a lot of parkour bullshit at the end that she was like, you know, come over here and get me up on that platform because I've been trying for like 3 hours and I can't do it. So there was some of that that I had to contend with, which was actually kind of hard. I am not a fan of like the third or the first person jumping sequence puzzle that has a lot of timing and things that will knock you off of platforms if your timing's bad. Like they have like windmills, right? And the blades are going around. And if you're on the platform and the blade comes by, you get yeeted off. And then you start the whole level over again.
Mm.
And I'm not a fan of that. And I'm definitely not a fan of that whenever the game decides to pause for a quick load from disc while you're in the middle of doing it, stuff like that. So she was over there about to scream. And I was like, oh, it can't be that bad. And it turned out it really was. But that was like the very last level of the game, so not so bad. Like up to that point, I'd had to help her out like a couple of times, but it was just technique stuff. Like, well, you realize you can look straight down while you're jumping, right? So then you can figure out if your feet are going to land on that pillar, because it's seriously like the old Kung Fu movies where they have like some telephone poles sunk in the ground and they have to like jump across. It's bullshit like that. And I'm just like, oh my God, why would they put this in this game? But other than that, really cool. Yeah. She had a super hyper optimized raft, 'cause that's how she rolls. And, but it's been a thing of like, she'd play the game for a while and then it'd be like, well, you know, we're going to release chapter 2 in 6 months or whatever. So then she'd like sit on it and wait and then play through, you know. So as they released the chapters, she would blaze through them and then wait again. So they finally put the very last chapter out, and yeah, so you have to get to this island, and then there's like a fortress on it, and you have to parkour up through the, you know, all the underbelly of stuff, solve a bunch of switch puzzles and stack boxes, and then there's like a boss that throws fire bombs at you that was non-trivial, but she finally got him. And I don't know how it actually completed, but it was like really close to the end when she got past the fire bomb guy. And then she immediately started a new game because there was things that she had not collected on the, and I'm like, oh my God.
It's funny that you mentioned like the idea that these poles, it's like, why'd they put these here? Well, that reminded me of Galaxy Quest, where they're like running through the ship and there's like the hallway of chompers and they're like, why is this here? 'Cause it was on the show. Like, whoever wrote this episode is stupid. <It's>
like... Yeah, exactly. So, other thing that I messed around with a little bit, and it's on Steam. It is not on the sale. You probably want to wait till it is, because it's not like their A-list games. But if you are a fan of Darkstalkers, that Capcom Fighting Collection that came out, they should just call it like every Darkstalkers game ever, plus a couple of games you never heard of. So, yeah, it's very interesting. It's like pretty much perfect emulation of all the Darkstalkers games. So it's like Vampire Savior 1 and 2, Darkstalkers, Darkstalkers 2, whatever, Darkstalkers Revenge, you know. Help me, Darkstalker, I'm stuck.
Oh, no.
Yes. And then the game that got my attention that's on there is actually Red Earth, otherwise known as Warzard. And that is kind of an interesting game because it bridges it's like on the line between a Street Fighter game and like a Conan kind of thing, because you're like a half human, half lion barbarian guy, or a wizard, or like a ranger, or I forget what the other character. The other character is just a straight up ninja. But then, like, monster number one is like you're fighting a wyvern instead of another character, right? So it's kind of like Monster Hunter, where yeah, this thing will charge across the screen and completely steamroller you and whatnot. So yeah, it's a non-trivial boss fight is like fight number one in the game. The wizard fights a thing that looks kind of like a squid that casts spells, but of course squid's got a bunch of tentacles, so he can cast a bunch of spells really fast. He's kind of an asshole. Haven't beaten that thing yet, but yeah, it's interesting. And it from its arcade roots, it like would let you put in a password to continue where you left off, because your fighters actually level up. So there's like progression in a fighting game, which is a shocker.
Oh, nice.
I have often wondered why nobody has made a game that is like an RPG, and then whenever it comes time to fight, then it turns into like a Street Fighter type fighting game where you actually brawl. Because it'd be like Knights of the Round or the Shadows over Mystara, or you know, any of those side scrolling beat 'em up things. It's just like, yeah, do the encounters, the side scroll and beat 'em up things. That would be pretty dope. But so nobody's really done it yet.
So instead of like the traditional Final Fantasy where it goes just like a side view and people are doing their turn based shit, it just turns into Street Fighter?
Yeah, real-time button mashing. Like, you played the new Ninja Turtles game, right?
Yeah.
Side-scrolling button mashing. Well, replace the Ninja Turtles with a fighter, warrior, priest, wizard, yeah. You know, wizard, right? And then the monsters are, instead of foot guys, it's goblins and stuff, right? So it would work. But it could be like set-piece encounters, like, you know, there's going to be X number of dudes that are there, plus, you know, like a sergeant for them. So, you know, a mini boss guy at the end or whatever. It doesn't have to be like a long level. It could just be like, here's a screen full of dudes, like knock their heads in.
You know, again, I'm getting reminded of other movies, but that kind of reminds me of that scene from Old Boy where like, he's escaping down at the bottom of that, and it turns into like a side-scrolling brawler. You're just like,
yeah, exactly. They could just make Old Boy the game, and it would just be that one scene, and it goes on for like 5 hours, just down the same street.
Oh man, that was something else. That movie is a little crazy.
Did you watch the remake or the original Korean version?
The original Korean version.
Okay, yeah. If you've seen that, just don't bother with the remake.
No, when it comes to movies, I try to watch like the original first. I guess in this case of Old Boy, the remake wasn't even out yet when I saw Old Boy. I didn't even know that was coming. But it's like the same thing when they did like the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series and stuff like that, where then they had like the American version that comes out later, and it's just like, why would you do that? Like, what was wrong with the original? You know.
Right, and then there's the Japanese version, the dragon with the girl tattoo. Nice. The dragon with the waifu pillow.
Oh, God, that's funny. Oh, man, that's funny. Yeah, wow, all right.
Can you imagine a dragon with like a little lolly tattooed on it?
Oh, my God. Oh, man, that's funny.
Yeah. Well, the Steam sale, you know, is always a crazy time. I feel like every other store, either tried to get their sale in the weeks leading up to the Steam sale, or they've just gone head to head and have stuff on sale, you know, basically everywhere.
Yeah, they should just call this like game month or whatever. It's just
seriously,
like,
yeah,
everything half off.
You know what I think would be really awesome is if, like, and I doubt they'll go this far, but, like, you know, Microsoft's been putting more and more of their stuff back on Steam. A lot of companies are. EA's doing it and stuff like that. I would really like to see kind of more of the cross-promotion stuff. Like, if you have Game Pass and you have a link to your Steam account, like, you can get stuff through Steam instead. I think that would be... I don't know. I think that could be a cool way, too. It'd be interesting to see for sure, because most of the stuff that you get, most of the stuff that you get through, if it's like tied to Xbox's network, I mean, you're still having to log into your Microsoft account through the game. You know, you get Halo on Steam, you still have to log into Xbox Live.
Yeah, so. It'd be interesting if they did it like a demo thing where you can download the game for free, but you have to have the purchase link to your account, or it just is a demo,
right,
kind of thing.
Yeah, so it'd be really cool to see more of that, because I think people would really, I think that would actually be a selling point for Game Pass. Like, I think more people would get Game Pass if they knew that they could play more games through Steam, you know, or have access to a lot of stuff through Steam. So
yeah,
I saw an interesting Steam sale exploit the other day where certain games, if you buy them, they will give you a CD key, and then if you refund the game but then you re-register the CD key, because you can go, you know, up to games and like register a product on Steam, you put that CD key back in and it puts the game back in your inventory. I was like, oh well, that's kind of a bummer. But what made it more interesting is if you check the CD key, it actually had generated another CD key. So you could hand that to somebody, and then a friend of yours also got the game.
What?
Yeah, I was like, what the hell am I seeing here?
Like, I hope they fix that, because that's nuts.
Yeah, so you basically end up with like infinite copies of this game, because every time you install it off
Was it one specific game?
It in this case it was one that they were demonstrating, but there were multiple games that did it.
Wow. Yeah, that's nuts.
So it's like if I register it with a Steam key, then it generates its own like the serial number, you know, whenever the game says like, show me the CD key for this game. Mm-hmm. If it's old enough to have been from the era of CD keys, well, it generates a Steam key as its CD key, but that's not the Steam key that you actually use to redeem the game. That's a new one. So if you give that to a friend, he gets the game, he gets a code, he hands it to a friend, right? And you just have like an infinite copy of this game that spreads across the world.
Yeah, that's nutty.
Unfortunate, but it's like ancient games that are like a dollar now, so whatever, you know. It's not like we're gonna grab, like, you know, Monster Hunter and do it.
Speaking of which, I wanted to ask Jim, did you play the new Monster Hunter expansion yet?
It all happens at the end of the current game, and I'm not there yet, so I bought it but I haven't got to it. So the other hidden feature of Steam during this giant Steam sale week is that none of the good games release during the Steam sale. They all wait, and then when the sale's over, you'll start to see new games come in, but everybody puts their stuff on pause. And, you know, for good reason, you want your game to get noticed, right? So you don't put it up, because the entire front page is taken up with all the suggested sale things. It's not like anything about here's what's new on Steam. So all that stuff just, you know, goes by like a, you know, it's like it's gone right by the time you see it. So if you do, though, go in and actually open up the all products and then search by release date, you get a week-long stream of just pure trash, because people do continue to release this junk on Steam. You know, like every day 1,000 new games on Steam kill me. But it's all straight trash because, like, anything of any kind of quality, of course, didn't release. So it's all like, yeah, it's like I paid $100 to get my first line of code up on Steam. I made a box move on the screen here, 99 cents. Yeah.
Yuck.
Yeah. So if you wanna browse like an untainted flow of trash without any kind of risk of having a good thing in there, this is the time.
Well, that actually reminded me of something that I wanted to ask both of you. Have you ever wanted to make your own RPG?
Yes.
Because Humble Bundle has a bundle going right now for RPG Maker. I think it's two or three different versions of RPG Maker, and I confess I'm ignorant of what the difference is between the different versions. But it also includes a bunch of other content, assets that you can use in these to make your own game. So I was tempted because, I think it'd be fun to dabble with, but I can't imagine that I'd actually, publish anything with it.
There have
But I
been
wanted to
people who
see.
have published games on Steam from this.
You're absolutely right. There's a whole like subgenre of RPG Maker titles on Steam.
Yeah, so my buddy got like way into RPG Maker, and he did it actually as part of his job, because the company that we used to work at, and he was in the guys that wrote the training materials and stuff. So he made like a JRPG, and all the problems that you had to solve in the thing was actually the devices that we sold, right? So
Oh,
you were
interesting.
actually troubleshooting. Yeah, so you'd walk into a data center instead of a dungeon, and instead of hallways, it was server aisles.
Nice.
But then whenever you would actually have to fight a problem, you'd go like inside the equipment, right? And you're like, and he had graphics for like, I'm running around on a motherboard, like
Yeah,
fighting
so
low voltages.
I actually have RPG Maker XP and RPG Maker VX or whatever it is.
Okay.
I'm looking at the Humble Bundle too. They have RPG Maker like 2003, for example.
Right, well, that's where I'm like, I don't know why I would want RPG Maker 2003 versus the latest and greatest, right? Like, is there a reason to own multiple of
Well,
them?
they radically changed the thing as it goes, but the older versions of RPG Maker, for some reason, there's a Japanese jank about PC games. Like if it came from Japan during a certain era, then it, like, oh, we didn't think anybody would ever want to remap controls, or we didn't think anybody would want anything but, like a 4x3 window in windowed mode. Why would you ever want to play full screen? Right.
Right.
It was just weird stuff like that. So yeah. So some of the old RPG Maker stuff is like you're gonna play in 4x3 stretched full screen, or you're gonna play in a postage stamp because it can't scale the window. So it's gonna be like 640 by 480, and you can full screen it or you can play in a postage stamp. Choose your
Choose
fate,
your
right?
poison.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, stuff like that. So I don't know. It's all right, but it's just like if I see RPG Maker stuff on Steam, I just keep scrolling, because unless it's like really super amazing, there's a couple of them that I do own that are actually really good. Like there's one guy made probably better than the Super Nintendo Final Fantasy games, like made a giant RPG Maker game that's really good. Has like 20 different classes of characters and a giant world, and they even made a sequel to it. I can't remember what the name of it is. I'd have to go dig, but that one was worth it. But I'd say 99.9% of them, not so much.
Gotcha.
Unless you really need those pixels. My opinion is like, if I want to play something that looks like an SNES game, I have 700 of them in a zip file on a thumb drive, and I can actually play the legit SNES games, right? So I really don't need somebody's like half-assed attempt to recapture the spirit.
I guess it just depends. Yeah, I guess... there has been some success with it, but like, I don't know how well the success rate is. Clearly, people buy these things, so they still make them, but you know,
yeah, somebody's buying them, right? Like,
they're not bad tools, but again, it's like effort versus like output, right? So it's like, you know, how much effort are you putting into it to really see the output of like your end goal? Because I think the thing that people forget about RPGs is it's not just about like the assets and like mechanics. There's also the writing and the storytelling and, you know, the transitions and, you know, the character development. And it's just like, you can have all the ideas in the world, but if you don't have anything to like apply to it, you know, it's not really like, how good is it? So...
Yeah, well, most of those games sound like they were written by a 14-year-old in their bedroom, because they were.
Yeah, so it's the battle royale plotline. Like, we're all here to die, but I'm going to ask you about like who you liked in school and shit like that.
Right.
God, that movie cracked me up. Did I ever? You've seen Battle Royale, Jim? I know you have. Mellified, have you ever seen Battle Royale?
I've seen clips of it, but I've never sat down and watched the whole thing.
That movie, okay, like that is a riffing event. Like, you need to like just sit down with me and Jim, and we're gonna watch this thing and just like laugh our asses off at it.
And it's got Gogo Yabari from Kill Bill in it. That's the best part.
it's like, you know, these kids are on like a field trip and they get captured to go to this island, and they get these like explosive collars put around their neck, and they're all supposed to fight each other to the death until like one's left. They've only got 3 days to do it or they all die, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like in the middle of like the island survival moment, there's like these two kids that are like, you know, trying to like run and hide, and like the girls ask him about who he liked in school, and just like lady, this is not a good time to be talking about like middle school drama. Like, you
know, yeah, it's like good question, not the time to discuss it.
And then they happen upon this like house of like these kids that are just like, you know, playing it out like nothing's wrong, and they're like making breakfast, and it's just like, you guys realize you have like a day and a half left, right? Like, you know, it's like,
yeah, they just go into complete disconnect. You know, it's just like, well, we're gonna die, but we're gonna feign normalcy until the moment that somebody comes and kills us, which they soon do. I don't know. To me, like, the funny crap was like at the beginning, whenever they get everybody like off the school bus, because they have no idea that they're going to this thing. They're just on the school bus like going home, and then they get gassed and they wake up in this warehouse, and they're like, surprise, you're on the game show. And yeah, so they wheel out a TV, and it's got like cute girl acting like sickeningly cute, right? You know, the Japanese schoolgirl, like, you can do it, you know. It's I can't even describe what that is. When you see it, you know it, right? It's just like the I'm like overexcited, blasting hype and encouragement and whatever, but also being so cute that it's gonna just make you cringe. But she's delivering the briefing and explaining about how they murder people and how they have like neck collars that'll pop their heads off if they go out of bounds and whatever.
Dude, the best part of that movie for me was the end of that movie.
Where they shoot the guy, and then he gets up and picks up his cell phone, calls people, like, yeah.
Oh no!
Because they thought he was dead, right?
They blasted this guy. Like, I mean, they didn't just like shoot him once. Like, they Swiss cheesed him. And they think it's over, and then, like, you hear the cell phone ringing, and he just, like, gets up, picks up the cell phone, goes, sits on the couch, and is, like, talking to his kid or whatever, and then, like, gets off the phone, and then, like, overreacts, dies on the couch, like, afterwards. You're like, what the hell just happened?
This wasn't even my final form.
Yeah,
it would be like Final Fantasy. You're in the middle of a boss fight, and the phone rings, and the boss is like, "Hold on a minute."
Yeah. Oh man. Well, there's a fun side tangent for you as we end this podcast.
Yeah. It's basically the movie version of Yakuza Like a Dragon.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Okay.
It's great.
Okay.
It's great. Well, there's a little extra for you guys. We've talked plenty about the games we're playing, more about Steam Deck experiences and everything else going on. If the Steam sale's still going on by the time you hear this, go pick up some games, have some fun playing, and we'll see you guys next week. Be sure to check out our Discord at discord.otherworlds.gg. This has been episode number 67.
Yeehaw.